It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat. And Senator Welch, the Affordable Connectivity Program has run out of money. So to begin with, what did it do and what happens now?
Well, Affordable Connectivity provided a very modest boost of $30 a month for low-income families so that they could get connected to high-speed internet. And first of all, it's absolutely essential that everybody be on high-speed internet. It's sort of like electricity was in the 30s. And 23 million American households have taken advantage of it, and thousands in Vermont. 4 million veterans. So this has been a lifeline so that folks, you know, a single woman with two kids and an income of, say, $15,000 or $20,000 a year could afford to have that internet connection. Her kids could do homework. She could apply for a job or have a medical appointment. We've got a lot of support, bipartisan, to extend it, and we're having the usual fight about how to pay for it. We found a way to pay for it. It's through what's called a spectrum auction. That's the bandwidths that are used by the Defense Department to run their systems, by wireless phone carriers to run their phone systems. We're having a debate, and this is not about the affordable connectivity, but how much of that spectrum should go to the Defense Department, how much should go to wireless, and how the revenue should be allocated. So we're trying to work that out, and I'm going to stick at it. But what is the good news is that there's strong bipartisan support. My leader on the my legislation is J.D. Vance, obviously a very conservative senator from Ohio.
Maybe a vice presidential candidate.
And top tier on the whispered list. That's true. But what he and I both understand is that, hey, whether you're in rural Ohio or you're in rural Vermont, this is really essential that you're connected to the internet. So we've got that usual problem that is very frustrating to watch as well as be in the midst of. How do you allocate the money? And then the competition about who gets access to the spectrum itself. But bottom line, this is really, really important that we get it done and get it done as quickly as possible. So J.D. Vance and I are going to continue really working hard and furiously to try to get this back online.
I want to move to another area now. As we've talked over the months, you've been really fiercely critical of Israel's war in Gaza since the October 7th Hamas attacks. Prime Minister Netanyahu is supposed to address Congress in July. Do you think you'll attend that speech?
I haven't decided. Frankly, I don't think Netanyahu should have been invited. He's a very divisive figure. I was here when he came and spoke before, and that was when he was trying to tear down the Obama administration effort to create an Iran nuclear deal so that Iran didn't have a nuclear weapon. And it was an extremely divisive presentation by Prime Minister Netanyahu. So I just don't see how it's helpful. And one of the aspects of it that I find troubling is that you get into this partisan kind of showmanship in the legislature, where it's divisive between Republicans and Democrats, and that doesn't help. So there'll be a lot of cheering on one side, a lot of sitting on hands on the other. I don't think it's helpful.
It's pretty clear that Netanyahu would like to see President Trump back in office as opposed to dealing with the Biden administration.
That's right. And it's totally inappropriate for a foreign leader to be tipping the scales like that. And he did that when he spoke during the Obama presidency, and he would obviously be doing that again during the Biden presidency. You know, we've got to focus on trying to bring the suffering to an end. Israel obviously suffered a horrendous attack by Hamas, and we all condemn Hamas. It suffered incredible loss of life, and Israel has legitimate security issues. But the bombing campaign, and it's our bombs, has led to the loss of 37,000 Palestinian lives, thousands of women and children, amputations that are being done in Gaza without any anesthesia, and incredible malnutrition. And this has not resulted in Israel being more secure. So the present course that the Netanyahu war plan is following is not making Israel stronger. And the point of a ceasefire, and President Biden now is calling for it, is number one, to get the humanitarian aid in. And, you know, there already is starvation. We've got to stop it. Number two, that pause is hopefully going to be something that can get a diplomatic approach engaged in rolling forward. And that would have to involve the Arab states that have good relationships with Israel and who do not want Hamas to be part of any equation in the future. But this endless bombing and the war going on, it's in the moving into the ninth month now, is causing enormous suffering and doing very little, if anything, for Israel's security.
What did you make of those high-profile defections from his war cabinet?
It's an indication of just the division that's occurring within Israeli society. You know, there's a lot of street demonstrations. People want the hostages home. They want some plan for the day after rather than endless war. And, of course, one of the big deficiencies in the Netanyahu plan was that there is no vision being articulated about what happens the day after the war ends. Is there permanent occupation by Israel of Gaza? Is there continued expansion into the West Bank? Is there an annexation policy? Or is there a serious effort to try to have a two-state solution where you've got a demilitarized Palestinian state living side by side with Israel? So the prime minister has made no indication of what the ultimate goal is. And I think that's creating a lot of division within the cabinet because they see that the current approach is not working and you're seeing the defections in the cabinet.
We have just a couple of minutes left in today's segment. Since the last time you were with us, your fellow Senator Bernie Sanders announced he would run for another term. Were you surprised by that?
No, not really, but I didn't know. I had no clue, and I didn't ask Bernie. You know, we're on the plane back and forth quite a bit, but I'm delighted that he's running. I mean, if you've been watching Bernie, he hasn't lost a step. He's got the same energy and passion and the same work ethic as ever. And he's a very constructive voice here in the United States Senate. So I'm very happy that Bernie's running again.
How does he do on the plane? Is he prickly about the overhead baggage or the cart going by?
He is not. No, I hate to disappoint, but he's a very courteous passenger and very nice to everyone who wants to take a selfie. No, he's a man of demand when he's in the airport, and everybody's coming up to him and wanting to have a selfie, and he accommodates.
Now, meantime, Republican Governor Phil Scott is by some measures the most popular governor in America. He's also running for re-election, which he announced to, you know, kind of on the weekend after the legislative session came to a close without much fanfare. How are you getting along with the governor these days?
Well, very good. I mean, the obligation all of us have in public office is to work with one another for the betterment of Vermont. You know, when I was Senate president as a Democrat, we had a Republican governor, Jim Douglas. And what I used to say to my colleagues is that, hey, the same people that elected us elected him. And once the election is over, the expectation is that we all do the best we can together to make Vermont better. So all of us, and, you know, this is something Senator Leahy always did as well, does everything we possibly can to work with the folks that Vermont elects to serve them in Montpelier and in Washington. We've got an election now, so the voters are going to have another opportunity to decide in November who they want in various positions.
Are you disappointed at all that former Governor Howard Dean decided not to run after all?
Well, his decision, but I'm a big fan of his. You know, I served with him when he was governor. In fact, I, in many ways, owe my position here in Washington to Governor Dean, because I had been in the state Senate when he was lieutenant governor. This is long ago. But when a person left the state Senate, Governor Dean appointed me back to the Senate. I've been out of politics for 11 years. So he got me back in politics, and I was a big supporter of his when he ran for president. So he's, you know, just an extraordinarily talented person. And obviously it would have been a very, very compelling race But I always respect the decision that the person who has to be the candidate makes.
Well, it's certainly easier not to run than to run. We've been speaking with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat in office since 2023 after a long career in the U.S. House. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the Supreme Court.
Great.